And we're starting a new series tonight. But what I need you to do is to stand, all right? I want you to find somebody that you're going to greet that you haven't greeted tonight at all. And I want you to say something extremely positive, uplifting, building them up or building somebody up or something up. Make some really nice compliment, something powerful, something that will breathe life into someone. I'm glad to see you here tonight. I'm really glad to see you here tonight.
Well, I get my 3 weeks a year.
Something positive.
Right.
Something positive. It's good to see you. Yeah. Did anyone come in a little later and you were interested in having an outline? Is there anybody interested in an outline? Anyone else interested in an outline? All right. Okay. Did you say something? What did you say? Somebody share with me something positive, something lifting, something building up. Yes. Great. Oh, okay. He's not 28 anymore. Oh, you want one? Sorry, guys. Glenda's not here tonight. So there's no kids. Yeah, she had kids tonight. Yeah. I mean, you're welcome to go out and do something if you want to, if somebody wants to take them, but I really apologize. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay, now, as we get started in this series, I just want to remind you, this book is in our library. This is Ed and Vicky's copy, but and Ed had also, in his Sunday school class some time ago, he did the series on the power of your words from this speaker, which is Robert Morris. Okay, I am not using this material, all right? I wish I would have, but because it's really, really, really good. But I felt like I need to be a little more original and do my own stuff. So this is this book is really, really helpful. I mean, it's a real blessing. And so I would encourage you to maybe hit the library with it. I think we have another copy. If we don't, we can get one really quick. Thank you, Ed and Vicky. Very helpful. We just got off a subject of talking about our emotions and how our emotions work and all the stuff that God does in us and through us through all those emotions. This follows up really well with that kind of topic because I'm convinced more than I've ever been that it's literally changing my life. Understand, this is something I did not grow up with. We were not taught that the power of your words really affect how you feel, what you are in life, what life can become. The power that is in our words determines whether we have victory or whether we have defeat. And it is major in our Christian walk. So the more I got to thinking about it, I was going to do a Sunday morning series on it, but I decided that I'm going to do it more on Wednesday night, and then we'll take Sundays at different occasions. We might preach a sermon on it or two. I am not using PowerPoint. At least some weeks I might have PowerPoint, some weeks I won't. Some weeks I'll try to get you involved a little bit, but this is going to be a lot of instruction, more than just getting you involved in like the last series. I had you involved more. But this is critical. And don't be afraid to speak up about stuff. If you hear things or if I ask you a question or whatever, just feel free to speak up and talk and to share. We don't have to cover all the material. I'm trying to learn not to get all my material in at one time. It's okay. All right? I need to learn to be a little more flexible. That's the tonight's outline. What I did is I took, there's like 10 sheets. There were 10, but I had Janet copy them front and back. These are as many scriptures as possible you can find in the Word of God on power of words. 5 sheets front and back. So I did this so that it would be easier for you to look these things up quickly if you really want to see what the scriptures are saying about the power of your word, instead of going to your Bible and trying to find them. So I made 10 copies. If we don't have enough, we can always make more. So if you're interested in taking one of these, it would be a resource for you to help you with understanding the power of your words. And Clarence, you're on duty again. All right. So, I'm learning along with you guys. I was taught growing up that this was positive confession stuff. It can be turned into that. It can be positive name it and claim it. But it's not the name it and claim it. We're going to make that clear. We're going to make it clear when we talk about naming and claim. We have a right to claim the Word of God, right? What the Word says. And so this is an area that I hopefully can do justice to it and helping us to understand what it means to have your speech means a lot, okay? All right. Okay. Anybody here go to a church other than the Assemblies of God? Which denomination church were you a part of before?
Well, let me just do it backwards. Right now I come here on Wednesdays and I go to Real Life on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Crossroads,
okay. Real Life is AG.
Before that, I was in Worldwide Church of God with my friends, and then
okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you wouldn't have heard, usually if you're in a mainline denomination, you would not hear this kind of teaching. At least years ago you didn't. Mary, what church did you go? You were Lutheran, right? Okay. Lutheran, you probably didn't hear this kind of stuff. Anybody here ever belong to a anybody hear of, let's put it this way, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland? You've heard of those guys? Okay. Some of the stuff that they've taught was not clear, and people used a lot of stuff and misused it and abused it. In the Assemblies, when I was growing up, when my dad was pastoring, it was like you had to be really careful that you don't name something like, I want a Cadillac, and you claim it and you get a Cadillac. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. All right? We're not talking about you name it and you could become wealthy. Okay? We're not talking about that you name it and claim it because you just want it and you deserve it somehow. I'm not talking about that. But we are talking about the words that you say. And whether they're negative or positive, they need to be based on this word. And this word, what you say, you need to claim what the word says. If it says it's so, it is. Right? It is. And we are not going to deviate from that truth. And there are things in this word that we have for years have not really claimed as we should. Now, the other thing about the power in your words is difference between somebody being negative and being positive. Now, I'm going to just be really forthright with you and let you know that sometimes the emotion we talked about with depression, sometimes I literally believe that people are depressed because they are not speaking properly. They're speaking negatively. They're speaking negative thoughts into their mind. And what happens is their attitude changes as a result of that. And that changes your brain and your thinking. And wrong thinking, I'm convinced, wrong thinking can cause you to be depressed. Thinking wrongly. So if you hear somebody, I just got a phone call this afternoon from somebody who's been attending our church off and on, had an encounter with somebody, and I had to explain to him on the phone how important it is for him to respond to this person. He was really beside himself because this person has not been treating him very well, hasn't been very kind, and he was just holding this stuff in, and he needed to get out and understand where he was in responding to this person. And I had to remind him how significant, no matter how you're treated, your response to that other person is extremely important. If they're a non-believer and you need to respond to them in the love and the passion and kindness of Jesus Christ, the fruits of the Spirit, kindness and love, which we might be doing, by the way, on Sunday mornings. But I'm really teaching this based upon some stuff in my own life that I've had to learn. I've literally had to learn to watch the words that I say. And I mean not just the big stuff, the little stuff. So to get us started tonight, we're going to start on Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And get ready. In a few minutes, we'll go to a couple of verses of scriptures. And then we'll share some other scriptures as we go along. But let me just say in Genesis 1, we're going to see where God said, God called, and God blessed. He said it, he called it, and he blessed it. And we'll see that in the first chapter here. But let me read a story to you by Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford is the pastor of the Church on the Way in California. He has a Christian college called King's College. He is actually the head of the Church of God. He was at one time, or not Church of God, I'm sorry, Foursquare, the Foursquare denomination. So he's a well-known guy. He's written a lot of books, and this is what he said. He shares a story. Now, this might sound really simple to you, but it's significant, all right? Here's what he says. It was over 20 years ago, but the moment was never to be forgotten. It happened one afternoon right after I drove away from the church, having just left my office. I had just pulled out of the parking lot and was headed down the street when directly ahead of me, another driver did a bizarre stunt with his vehicle, nearly causing a horrible collision. I was so angry at the craziness of it that there alone in my car, I hollered out in fury and frustration, "You idiot!" Anybody do that? Thank you for your honesty. Okay. I saw the words as only indicating my indignation at the recklessness of the driver. With my window closed, I suppose my comment was somehow an allowable venting. Why? Because he was alone, right? However, I immediately discovered that God didn't agree with my self-serving excuse as the Holy Spirit gripped my soul with the chastening saying, I have created no one, no human being by that description. I drove on, but I felt a wound within because I knew I had grieved the heart of God. I continued meditating on my failure, inquiring within of my surprise and asking myself, what difference does my words make? Nobody else was in the car, And that driver didn't hear me. But the answer was obvious. The Lord heard me. And he made it clear that those words of mine had the power to give place to an attitude. Now that's important. Those words, "you idiot," has a way of putting an attitude in your mind right away. An attitude set loose in the spiritual realm with the power to shape something warped inside of me. If I allowed that kind of thing, so I repented. Quickly, I responded, "Lord, forgive me for saying that about that man. Forgive me for failing to recognize how mighty is the power that you, Lord, have placed within your child's tongue. Let me always be careful of what I permit to be transmitted through it." Now, that is a little insignificant thing to most people. To sit in your car and yell out at somebody else by yourself, nobody's there, "You idiot, you jerk, look what you just did." But the moment you do that and then you do not catch that in your spirit and do something about it, that's something that can continue to fester and you become a person that's like that. Next thing you know, you're calling everybody an idiot. And God didn't create idiots. That's pretty powerful. When you stop and think about that, our words so recklessly spoken carry more weight than you can imagine. In fact, hardly a week goes by where you don't hear about a celebrity, you hear about an official, elected official, some admired athlete that spoke some kind of word, and guess what? They're in trouble. Because they says Trump gets in trouble a lot. Hello. Sometimes just shut your mouth, right? But those single words like that, I never knew growing up, I never realized how significant it was every time I say a negative word or a negative thought that registers in my spirit. That right, that the spirit can grip you. So it's either the power of the spirit's going to grip you, or it's the power of the enemy spirit that's going to grip you. That's why this is so important. So the power of words is fundamental to life and be instrumental to causing things to live or to die. Now, few subjects are more important in life in the kingdom of God than the power of your words. In John 1:1, what does it say in John 1:1? In the beginning was the what? The Word. The Word was with who? God. And the Word was God. Whoa! The Word is God. It's who it is. Every word you say that proceeds out of your mouth. It's important. The Bible has a great deal to say about God's words, as well as the power of those words that you and I actually speak. So we're promised that the tongue of the wise promotes health, that whoever guards his mouth keeps his soul from troubles, and that those who deal truthfully are God's delight. Proverbs 12, verse 18, Proverbs 21, 23, and 12, 22. I wish I would have done this on PowerPoint. You could have seen it. But let me say it again. Let me repeat those words. The tongue of the wise promotes health, that whoever guards his mouth keeps his soul from troubles. You guard your mouth, you keep yourself from troubles. Right? And that those who deal truthfully are God's delight. Proverbs 12, 18. Proverbs 21, 23. Proverbs 12, 22. Now, as we grow in discipleship, God continues to refine us regarding our tongue. James, which we're going to go to a little later, reminds us of that. Little members that set fire by hell. James talks about that in James chapter 3. Everything that exists came about by a word. That is a phenomenal truth. That is the truth. Everything that exists came through a word. Everything that exists came by the words of God Himself. Started this universe, started the world by speaking the word. So in chapter 1, go there, the book of Genesis, we read that God spoke all these things to being. God said, and it was so. God called, and it was good. God blessed. Now go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said what? God said, let there be light. He spoke it into existence. God said. Verse 7, what did he say in verse 7? So God made the expanse and separated the water and the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And then verse 8, God called the expanse the sky. And there was evening and there was morning and the second day. Again, and God was so. So God made the expanse and the expanse of the water into the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. God called and the expanse of the sky. So he called, right? God said it was so, then God called it. Right? Now look at verse 10. Verse 10, what does he say? God called the dry ground, land, and gathered waters he called the seas. Right? Verse 28, go down to verse 28. And what does he say in verse 28? Ah, exactly. God blessed. You can't miss it, right? God blessed it. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. And here it is. God blessed them. And then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and increase. All right, so God then said, and then God blessed it. What he spoke into existence, he blessed. And especially when he created the image of mankind. When he created you and he created me, he blessed it. He didn't put a curse on it. He blessed it. Wow. So it's the verbal activity of Almighty God that literally decrees our world into existence. God himself brought this world and you into existence by his words. That's important because you look at these words in Genesis and you see how God declares us to be made in his image through his words, how our words have the power to do the same thing. If God created you and created me in his image, that means that we need to respond the same way Jesus responded. If we are in the image of God, if we are like God, like Christ, then we need to be willing to act like and have character as Christ has had character, right? So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at that degree, and I'm only going to spend like a second or two, just a few, and that first point, just really, really briefly to get you to understand those few verses of Scripture. And then we're going to look at the New Testament and how our hearts, by the way, we use our tongue. So we're going to look at how God declares to be made in his image through his word, and how those words have the power to decree. We have the power to decree just like Jesus did, or God did, I should say, okay? And then because we decree those words, we need to understand where those words are coming from. It's coming from our heart. Remember, the central seat of our emotion is what? The central part of our emotions comes from where? We studied that. The heart. Okay, so let's look at God declared humankind to be made in his image. Even more remarkable, the one whose words were so awesome also gave you and me the same capacity that the words we speak would be creative, they would be dynamic, they would be demonstrative, and also and everything that's around us. For and indeed, God declared that humankind be made in his image according to his likeness, and we can see that in three ways. Number one, by our will, by our words, and by our future, our eternal future. Here's basically what he's saying. Number one, God gave us the capacity of will. Now, none of you here ever came to God being forced by him, were you? He gave you the ability to choose him, to choose him. God gives us the ability to choose, make up, to will, to want him, to desire. No matter how weak you are, your will may be, it's still important for you to make the right and correct, He's making the right decision in following Jesus Christ. So no matter how weak your will may be, it's still as decisive as God's will. Here's what I mean when I say that. God makes a decision and it stands, right? Would you believe that? When God makes a decision, it stands. When you make a decision, you made a decision to serve Christ, it's standing. You made that decision that God said, I want you to make the same decision I made. I'm God, and I want you to make that same decision. So God's good will toward us never falters. You would agree with that wholeheartedly. No problem. God's will never falters. God's never going to falter you. Now, you and I are going to falter, obviously, but given free will and unaware of their redemption role on this earth, people are going to rebel and they're going to choose to do the wrong thing. So they're going to choose the wrong words. They're going to choose to not stand. They're going to stand for what they want to stand for, not stand for what God wants to stand for, right? Which brings us to the second point. You and I have the power of our words. So if we choose, if our will is to choose God and we're in his image, then you and I have the power to make the correct words that we need to say as a Christian. So when God speaks, he says, it is so. All right? The Bible says that no word that you or I speak is without significance. Somebody go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10. What does the Apostle Paul say? What does he say? Somebody just read it out loud.
Did you say 1 Corinthians 14:10?
14:10, yes. First Corinthians, you're in First Corinthians?
There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance.
All right. Right, so there's all kinds of languages in the world, right? What's the significant language that he's referring to? What's the real significant language?
None other without meaning.
Yes, there's none other without him. It's the possibilities. What he's saying is I speak is without, everything I speak that's outside of what God wants can destroy, right? What he gives in God is significant. Every word that you share is significant, good or bad, really, because it can destroy or can heal, right? So every word you're literally saying is significant. It's important for us to know that. Our words count. It's big time as far as I'm concerned. And that might be a good thing or a bad thing depending on the words you choose. Right? So which brings us to the next point here is that we are eternal beings. All right? So this is the difference is that while God is infinitely past, he's also infinitely future. God has always existed, right? Everybody would agree, God's always been, always will be. He has no beginning and no ending. But we have a beginning. Our beginning's at conception. And so we begin, and along with the eternal future comes the capacity to choose by our will and to decree our words. We have a beginning. We choose whether the words that we're going to share. And our words are like God's, can do the same things. They can edify, they can identify, and they can multiply. Because that's exactly what's happening in Genesis chapter 1. He's first of all telling you, edifying us. It is good. I created it. It is so. I said it. It's in the Word. I decreed it. And then he identifies what he created, right? And then he multiplies. He's identified us, who we are. He's identified the fact that we are in his image. And we are to carry out that image to multiply as a Christian. All right? That's basically what is going on in Genesis. For us to clearly understand, this is where the Word actually started, right from chapter 1 in Genesis. All right, now, what about our words? Like God's has the power to decree. Again, edification. What was the word that Jesus or God said? I keep saying Jesus, I don't know why. What God said, right? The word edify is used in the The word edify is used in the Bible to describe anything that builds up. So here in Genesis, when God speaks, things come into existence. So as you and I take the word of God, we are edified. The spiritual structure of our being is built up and strengthened. We're edified, okay? So what was non-existent in us by reason of, like, for instance, when we didn't have God, what was going on? There was death going on because of sin. There was no edification. But Jesus brought us back to life, right? So he builds on that. So what was broken down from the past, the sin of Adam and Eve, what was all broken, and our sin in the world, what happens? Jesus rebuilds us, and his building process is edifying us through the Word. So Jesus is literally edifying us through his Word. He's rebuilding our character. He's rebuilding us. There are also words that the Lord gives us to you and to me that we speak to other people, words by which we edify one another. For me, it's not only trying to edify through teaching or preaching or whatever I need to do, but I need to do that in my home. You do the same thing at work or at home or wherever you are. You try to build up people, edify people, encourage people, strengthen them. So edification also has to do with what we cultivate in one another. So it's not difficult to see the difference between people who are nurtured in their childhood, who have good positive words to say, and those who are not balanced and don't have good things to say or can't say things good because of the way they were brought up. You know, whatever was built in us, we either beautify or we destroy. We're going to do one or the other. If you grew up in a negative environment, as we've talked about with our emotions and all those things, those negative things are going to keep coming out. If you keep doing the story that we told you about Jack Hayford, and you keep calling somebody an idiot over and over and over again, that becomes a part of your life. That becomes a part of who you are. If you curse and swear and do all those things, right? Again, that becomes a part of who you are over and over again. So you either build up and edify or you destroy. Everybody would say amen to that, right? We know that. So, and that's what, exactly what God was doing in Genesis, is he was, there was a building of edification. Second was the identification. When he says God called, he's identifying. When God called, for each thing God made, he gave an identification. He spoke it into life. He spoke it into life. For example, in a life is often a result of the way human words are identified. We have all kinds of things going on. If the word said to you, somebody said to you, your parents, your siblings, your teachers, your friends, that you're lovely, you're beautiful, you're awesome. I mean, what's that do to you? That builds you up, just builds confidence in you. Or you may have given us a sense of bad self-worth, like we talked about before. Somebody didn't build anything confidence in you. They didn't say things to you that would encourage you. Some people become defiant to prove that they're wrong. I'm going to be defiant to prove that you're wrong. Whatever they do, the power of words identifies who you are. So you decide who you are because somebody else said something about you. That's what we said in our other series. It's not what somebody else says about you, it's what God says about you. Not what somebody else thinks you are or they want you to be. Now, let's say that you're a teenager. I want to illustrate this way. Let's say you're a teenager and you're really furious with your father. Let's just say that your father was probably most of the time pretty understanding, but this one time he just really made you mad and he got really upset with you and he said things to you and you got really mad and you stormed downstairs in the basement. We're making up a scenario here. You run down to the basement and you run down to the tool bench or something down there and you pound on it and you pound on it and you get really, really mad. You get super, super angry and you begin to what? Either swear, say some bad words, holler out, scream. Nobody else hears you. It's you and God. But instantly, your body shakes. Let's just assume your soul is kind of startled and you're convicted. And you feel that the Spirit of God is speaking to you and that you should have never acted like that. What do? You've done it probably hundreds of times. God, forgive me. I'm sorry. That's my father. I should have never treated him that way. I shouldn't be mad at him this way. I should respect him. I mean, you say, it's all wrong. I understand, God. I repent. And you confessed your sin, realizing you had not only given place to anger, but you dishonored your father. Nobody else knew it but you and God. You identified your problem. The Spirit showed you your problem. Now, let's just say for another scenario that there's a man who is in a business and he's a highly popular man and he's talking about his business to you and he's explaining to you every few words or every few sentences he uses the word damn or maybe he swears, okay? And he does this over and over. He says, but this blank thing and this blank stuff, but every other line is he's describing what's going on in his business. And he said, and you stop him. You say, wait a minute. You're just describing to me what's going on in your business, and you're realizing every other word or every other phrase or every other thing that you're saying as you're describing it, you're actually damning it. You're saying this word or this other cuss word, and you're going on and on. And the guy looks at you and says, well, I didn't even realize I was doing that. It became his nature. And what you're really doing and what you're saying to him is, look, you're actually bringing damnation to your own business. You're nullifying the very blessing that God wants to bring you. What you're doing is you're decreeing You're telling me that this is what your business is. How many times have we done that and said things and didn't even realize we were doing it? Some people will cuss and they don't even know they're cussing because it's part of their, yeah, I was gonna say DNA, but it's part of their life. It's the way they think. Their words just become a part of their life, and that's the way they feel. It is very damaging, very damaging. So he's identifying the kind of person he really is, isn't he? He's identifying the young you, go downstairs, get mad, you get convicted, you're identifying who God is, you correct it, you change it. The other guy, he's saying, wait a minute, this is who I am, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm angry, but doesn't even realize that he's actually doing it, and it's because there's two different worlds. Two different worlds. And one of the things we want to learn in this series is understanding how we need to identify our words and what we're saying. Because the last one was multiplication. God blessed. He blessed it. The Bible says God blessed, and everything he blesses, what does it do? It multiplies. Everything he blesses, it multiplies in life. That's what you and I are called to do, to edify, identify, and multiply in the way God does. And by our words, we cannot identify what God wants to do and what God wants to accomplish. We can't multiply blessings in God if we are constantly coming against what God has said and decreed. Our words. Our words. How many of you ever said this to yourself? Man, I'm stupid. You just decreed. You just said to God that you created a dummy. That's what you told God. God doesn't create dummies. How many of us have said to ourselves, man, if you just get a half a brain, how stupid can you be? How idiotic? You know what? How many times have I said that? I'm learning. I'm learning. Trust me, I'm learning. So God has endowed us with power to give life by two means, biologically or verbally. We are biological beings. We have conception. We have birth. It takes place physically. And guess what? Verbally, what we say decrees what we end up doing or not doing. Whew. Wow. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. For every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Jesus tells us that in the day of judgment, everyone will stand before God to give an account for the words they were spoken, unless those words have been brought under the blood of Jesus Christ. The one power that can disintegrate that bondage is the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, and as God forgives us, we then stand without that record of our words or our deeds anymore. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? The day of judgment is not only the day in which there is a punishment for evil, but it's also judgment conveys the idea of corresponding liberation, as a judgment breaks the yoke of the sin bondage. There comes deliverance, a release for freedom. That applies to all of us. I want you to consider this. When you are in that basement and you are at the workbench and immediately the words you spoke about your father came under judgment from God, your heart was smitten, right? To God's praise, you quickly brought that back into divine. Listen, The moment you confessed it, God forgave it, and you don't have to be judged by that word any longer. That's awesome. So that's important. And that businessman, guess what? He might go on and on in his life and continue to make these negative remarks. I've seen Christians and I've heard Christians, and I have been one of them, who have said negative things over and over again and wonder why God isn't blessing me where I need to be blessed or want to be blessed. Because I have not given God room. I've identified with the wrong person, with the wrong thing. Maybe as the Lord brings to your mind words that you've said, write them down. Not to make you feel guilty, but maybe write each one of them down. Bring them before the Holy Spirit. Lord, is this something I should or should not be saying? You know, I can think of the hundreds of things I've said that I should not be saying or should not have said. And, of course, some things can't be undone right away. Sometimes it takes a while. And let me say this. I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing, that something's happening in me personally from a spiritual standpoint. Something's triggering in me that I've never had before, because I've been taking this seriously in my own life, trying to make my words, transforming my words and my thoughts. Now, for me, it's easy to be positive around most people. I have no problems praying with people, sharing with people, being positive, uplifting people. That's just like part of what I do and what God has helped me to do. And you know, I don't get really, really that angry with other people. It's my immediate family that I need to be much more gracious with and understanding and realizing that it's really hard. Sometimes you know what I'm talking about. It's very difficult. Well, I'm going to go to the last one. I only want to spend a minute or so on this. I want you to turn to James chapter 3. I think maybe we need to put a little pressure on ourselves to say the right things so that our lives of other people can be blessed more. And sometimes we just need to do that. Our words reveal where our hearts are. Apart from the redeeming work of Christ, we will only do harm with our words. We need wisdom from above. And our words also reveal the state of our hearts. So when James devotes an entire chapter, chapter 3, on the tongue. But if you go to Matthew 12, 34, which is right near where we just quoted some of the Matthews, Matthew 12, look at Matthew 12, 34. I'll read it to you, where he says, "You brood of vipers." These are Jesus' words. "How can you who are evil say anything good?" He was talking to the Pharisees who were being hypocritical. "For out of the overflow of the heart, what speaks?" The mouth speaks what's on the heart. So you see why the tongue is given such extensive treatment by James. Because what comes out of the heart, the central part of your emotions, the heart. So our words give us away. In James 3, 1 through 18, we see the tongue as power. That is by natural, hypocritical power. I'm telling you, we all are hypocrites at times. Let's be honest. Most people want to be heard. James urges us to consider the power of our tongue. There are two things that James is telling us about these words reveal in our heart. And I'm going to give them to you really quickly. And you can read this passage for yourself. But if we control the tongue, what else? What happens? We control the man. If you control the tongue, you control the man. You're not going to be out of control. James argues from greater to lesser in verse 2. Go to James chapter 3, verse 2. "Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and poor man is shabby clothes that comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes," that's chapter 2. I'm sorry, I wrote the wrong one. Chapter, in verse 2, chapter 3, I'm sorry. I'm in a hurry here. When you put his bit into his mouth of the horse, you make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, right? If one can control their tongue, by illustrates the horse. He gives the horse as an illustration. The little tiny bit controls his whole body, the way he's going to go. And then in verse 4, he illustrates it with a ship. A ship, a major, major ship, has a tiny, tiny little rudder. That tiny little rudder can steer that ship one way or the other. So if that tiny little tongue, if our little tongue can take us the wrong direction, we can steer the ship in the wrong direction, and big things can happen. Major crises can happen, right? Big things come from the tiny tongue. Now, we don't have time to explain all this, but to go on, as illustrated in wildfire, verse 5, the fire. Words either destroy or they purify, right? We all know that. Words can build or destroy. Better than anything else, the tongue displays the state of your heart. All right? Humanity alone cannot control the tongue. If James left you there, right there, just saying those things, giving you those illustrations, and saying, now you're going to be okay, just don't let this happen. But he doesn't stop there. We must know the hypocrisy of the tongue. The powerful tongue can be used for great or good or great or evil. Apart from redemption, it's only going to tear down and destroy. Let me just say to you, this is so important. If I don't keep reminding myself that I cannot tame my tongue on my own, just by trying to do better and being better and saying the right things, it's only going to come through the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. He's the only way I can really help myself. Better than anything else, the tongue reveals already who you are negatively. It's going to, you and I are going to say the negative thing first because it's our nature. Look at verses 9 and 10. The tongue can worship or it can curse. This hypocrisy should not be the case in verses 10 and through 12. He talks about that. James is not saying that, oh, you guys are unbelievers. No, he's saying you're hypocritical. You are believers because he calls them their brothers. Okay, he's just saying you're hypocritical at times as a Christian. James is saying that duplicating it is extremely important, that you duplicate what Jesus wants you to duplicate. And if you're to identify with Christ, then you must be willing to speak truths, those truths. Believers ought to be growing more consistent in their speech. All right? So we have to know the source of our tongue's redemption. Redeemed speech only comes from godly wisdom. And he talks about this godly wisdom, doesn't he? Really, godly wisdom is earthly, unscriptural, or demonic. You either have wisdom or it's unscriptural and it's demonic. It'll do one of those three things, and it shows itself in bitter envy. Look at verse 14. And selfish ambition that is accompanied by bragging or denial of the truth. It leads to disorder and every kind of evil. That type of wisdom and speech is our default. If you know anything about a computer, you set your defaults, right, to what you want to do. So you set your default. Your default and my default is set on evil, period. We don't want to do anything else. We want to do it our way. And so James is giving us helping us to understand the right kind of wisdom that we need. I'm in a real hurry. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to close this out. But the type of wisdom and speech that governs our life displays the work of God in our hearts. And I wish I would have taken more time to study that out, but I didn't. Maybe we'll come back to this passage later and study it out. But our speech and type of wisdom that governs our lives displays where we are in our heart. What does your tongue reveal about you? When I received that phone call this afternoon, and he began to explain to me what he needs to do with this lady he had this confrontation with, he might have been right in what he was assessing that was going on in the relationship with the problems, but his problem was he didn't use wisdom. And fortunately, you know, the Lord helped me, and I believe he listened, because he was saying what he did was he tried to make something correct in the wrong manner. What he really needed to do is he needed to show love and compassion and concern and caring, even though the lady was clearly in the wrong. But he allowed the frustration to get in, and he didn't use the wisdom. And let me tell you something, I can't count how many times I've done that. We all do that. He wasn't a bad guy. He just got caught up in his natural way of responding. And so we talked about how he could respond and what he should do and go back and try to help that situation a little bit, make it better, clearer. Yeah, right. Right. Amen. We're going to close with that. That was a really important point. It would have been bad to leave him off right there, wouldn't it? To say, yeah, you know what? This is our natural. But it shouldn't be. And hopefully we will cover that more as we go on. Yeah, our default should be Christ-like, easily. Yeah, that's a good thing to stop on right there. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Father, we're so delighted that you give us wisdom and you guide our lives and you know how to keep us. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this series to continue to unfold the significance of what we say and how we say it. And recognize, Lord, that the words have great power in our life, have a great way of blessing us or destroying us, or even cursing, placing curses on our life. Lord, I pray that you would help me personally, that you would help all the others who are hearing and listening as well, that God, we would do everything we can to be men and women that are willing to identify with you, and that we might multiply in the kingdom of God simply by choosing, Lord, the power of our words. Choosing words that have great power and significance to build up and to bless and encourage ourselves and those around us. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor for blessing us and keeping us. Lord, help us to continue to work on our relationship with you as we trust in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.